8:23 past the hour. News Radio WJPF, Dr. Kirk Overstreet. He is the president of John A. Logan College and our guest this morning. Hey, Kirk, how are you?
I am good, Tom. How are you this morning?
Good. But, you know, yesterday morning I was still having heart palpitations from driving in.
Yeah, it was a little tricky yesterday and yesterday afternoon.
And you're closed today.
Yeah, the campus is, all activities are canceled. Our folks are doing their online, so they're all doing the remote, and our folks are working from home today just to keep everybody safe and let these roads get all cleaned and get all the ice off the roads.
Probably back tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, I'm still trying to, a little shocked with my northern exposure. Up north, we travel a bit around, but, you know, the ice is different than snow. And so driving on the ice is a lot different than driving up north. You know, we can be used to that. I get 3 or 4 inches or 5 inches of snow up north. You still can, you can travel through that without slipping and sliding too much. But this ice, you don't see it, and it's kind of scary. So,
right.
You know, with some caution, yesterday afternoon we canceled our evening events and we put our learning into remote and decided that today would be a good day to do remote learning today as well. And you know, the major roads are opening up, so our basketball team's going to travel to Vincennes today and compete. The big roads are clean, and we checked on that, so that's all good to go.
You know, what you opened for the spring semester, was it January 11th? I think it was?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting when I was reading a couple of articles about reopening, how prominent, you know, the reopening was, one, and the fact that you were finally going to reopen the part that was so affected by this elevator fire. Now, because it's hard to psychologically look at this, because you and I, you know, you have a fire, you conjure up these black charred walls, right? And, you know, gaping holes in the ceiling. But really what it came down to in this situation was, yes, there was a fire, but the toxicity of the fire, for lack of a better word, the burn off on some of these cables and wirings, presented you with a much larger problem than I think people fully understood.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that kind of fire, small and contained, it was contained within a few minutes. But the chemicals that got into the venting systems and into the hallways, into the carpets, into the walls, that's really where the damage came from. And, you know, it really left a lot of work to have to be done. You wouldn't really understand it. I mean, when you look at things, everything sort of looks fine. But the cleaning that had to take place in order to get us ready to have those areas open again has been really intense.
How much did that cost?
Oh, that is, you know, luckily we have insurance.
Yes.
So, but it was over $1 million.
Wow.
To get all of that cleaned up. Yep. And, you know, we're still having, we have contractors working on different pieces and parts now. You know, and then you uncover some things. When all that carpet had to be cleaned out, some of the flooring had to be abated because some of it has asbestos. So you have hidden costs that come up. You know, one thing leads to another. The nice thing is everything is about there. We're going to have all of that reopened here at the end of May. We have some construction going on in there, but it's going to be super nice, and it sort of gave us an impetus here to look around the campus and say, hey, what do we need to refresh? And this will give us that. So we'll have that space. And then from there, we're going to walk through the campus and start refreshing different areas as we go for the next couple of years.
You know, one of the good things about your previous experience educationally in the state of Illinois is next week, and I've been reading more about it over the last 3 days, and that is the budget process and the governor starting on that and a presentation of the legislature as such next week. How close are you going to be watching that process when it comes to higher education and the budget? Because, you know, without the fair tax, they're talking about flat at this point in Illinois is good, I think. I mean, how close are you going to be watching that process, Kirk?
Every Friday. So
yep.
Every Friday I get online with all of the other presidents in the community college system at 1 o'clock, and we have a legislative meeting, and we meet with representatives from the state. We talk about the budget. We talk about the process. We talk about the impacts. And, you know, we're all working together as a team of community colleges to work our best magic with them to make sure that the colleges get what they need to do what we need to do. And, so we're watching it really closely. There is a lot of talk about that. You know, how are we going to handle the budget crisis? How are we going to handle it if the governor comes in and, you know, cuts our budgets? Well, you know, I'm just getting really settled here at Johnny Logan and spending a lot of time looking over spreadsheets and looking over the budgets. And we start our budget process here in February. And we're going to be very careful in what we do, but we are looking to build programs. We're looking to move the college ahead. So we're going to find ways to do that. We might tighten our belt in a few places, but we're looking to move forward.
Well, you know, you're familiar with the term flensing?
No, actually.
Flensing is the act of cutting as much meat away from a bone without hitting the bone. They use a flensing knife. And I very often equate that process, as gruesome as it may be, with what higher education has undergone. And we've already done quite a lot of flensing. We've cut a lot of meat away. There's only so much bone left. I wonder where the bottom is when it comes to higher education. I'm not sure what it would look like, but I worry about it.
I do, too. I think, and this is where we need to get more creative as we move forward. We need to get more agile with what we do. And so it really will be, looking for other avenues. We've got some hope in some new federal grants. We've got some hope in some new sponsorship. Community colleges, for the most part, over the last decade or so, have really started to look at their foundations. And we've got a really healthy foundation here. And so looking for money to help students, that's really going to be a focus for us. So philanthropy and helping the community colleges, it's not always been a big thing. That usually was the purview of the big
universities.
Universities and the the private colleges. But that is something that we have to look at and in partnerships.
Well, it's interesting because I've had these conversations, right, with a mother. There's no other way my child would have ever gone to John A. Logan College had there not been a golf scholarship. We couldn't afford to send her to college. There was a golf scholarship. And what's interesting is those people that didn't have those opportunities until they were helped have a tendency to circle back around and help again.
Yes. Yeah, we rely really heavily on our alumni and looking for them to give back. After they've become successful, we've got a good, strong, healthy alumni group here, and I'm looking to build on that even more as we go in the next couple of years.
And what I find interesting is little things. This was research done a number of years ago, and about how college students pick a place to go to school. Now, this was based on universities, and 76% of them said the athletic program's success is a major factor in choosing a university. And so when it comes to fundraising and creating a higher profile, things like a number one basketball team, national rated, gives you a marketing tool that you wouldn't have any other way, and it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a result, it gives you the potential to be able to reach out and say, look at our success, because people, we're human beings, we like to be affiliated with success.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our basketball team has done fantastic this spring, and really considering all of the situations that we've had, even have our basketball program running this spring with COVID and everything else has been just a major hurdle. But they've done a great job. Our coaching staff has done a great job of getting these guys prepared, and they're doing a wonderful job. They've had one game where we were tired, I think. The team was tired. But for the most part, they've done a fantastic job of coming up on top, and they're doing a wonderful job of bringing on the interest at the college.
Yes.
And getting folks interested in hearing about what's happening at the college.
And when you look at the morale that people are experiencing right now, every little bit helps when it comes to a community as well. It's interesting, Kirk. I was having a conversation about this school reform bill with Superintendent Steve Webb from Goreville. I hope you get a chance to meet him. He's a great guy. And we were talking, and it kind of morphed into a conversation about how high schools have to take something that they money they would normally do for, say, a vocational program and put it into that second language or whatever the case, right? And so we start talking about vocational education and our listeners literally coming out of the wall. We need to do more about vocation. So I bring on Jerry Womack, the BA, and one of the organizers at LIUNA. They talk about their building classes. They have construction classes, about 30 students from high school students everywhere. And I tell you that what was interesting, I've been at the John A. Logan job fairs talking with people who are there before the COVID, of course, and talking about, we don't know who's going to be the next sheet builder, a sheet metal person. We don't know who's going to be the next pipe fitter. We don't know going to be the next law enforcement agent because they just aren't out there and the interest isn't there or the training isn't there. And, you know, it's interesting because so much of what you do at the college is standing in that gap right now. And you know what's interesting is after we did that interview, I talked to Jerry at LIUNA. Parents were calling and saying, how can I get my son, my daughter into that program? There is a market for this, and it is big. The last time I had somebody fix my heating and air, I asked them where they went to school, John A. Logan College. This potential here and its effect, I think, cannot be underestimated. And what's interesting is people, kids, and parents are clamoring for it.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, when I say build programs, you know, obviously we're always going to have a transfer program. And my conversations with Austin Lane over at SIU, we're really going to pull out the stops on what we do with that transfer program. But, you know, Chevy announced, I think it was last 2 weeks ago or so, that they're going to completely move to electric cars and trucks
right.
by 2035. Well, we've got to be having the we've got to get the programs running here to build these stations, right? It's, you know, we're going to have charging stations all along the highways, all along our major highways and roads, our parking lots, our homes. This is good, viable, long-term work. And we talked a little bit about this when I first met with you, and this long-term infrastructure rebuild that we need to do in the United States and in our areas. But this is a prime example. We've got to get ready for that. We're building charging stations here on campus. We have our construction management program here. We have our construction program here where we're working with, building homes for the homeless. And these are viable things. And we've got the programs here. We've got the welding program. We've got the auto program. You know, we're going to be looking at what do we have to do to retool that auto program here in the next few years to get ready to do all the work on those electric vehicles.
Right. It's interesting because I've done more research on that subject, and it's actually pretty interesting. Because not only that, but you've got to start retraining every single emergency response team because they're used to building combustion engines. How do you disconnect a battery that could kill someone while you're rescuing someone? There's a second and third order of effects of just even small changes. Interesting note just came in for you, Dr. Overstreet, from one of our listeners, saying way back in 1976, 1978, I got my associate's degree in accounting from John A. Logan College. It was a great education, and I went 2 years at Logan for less than what it would cost for one semester at SIU. I love John A. Logan College, right? Interesting note there. Hey, you know, when you and I did, you just referenced first time we met, and one of the things that caught a great many people's attention who was listening was you and I's mutual admiration of science fiction. And you would not believe the response that we had, by the way, and a lot of it was, by the way, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, a lot of people, which is a really good book.
Yes.
And relevant to this day.
Yeah.
But I also note, this is from introspective here, that people such as you and I also have a tendency to be haunted by optimism. We are very optimistic, idealistic people. And I sure would like to see some of the, you know, because you talked about the charging stations. I think that ability, science fiction gives us ability to stand on our tiptoes, look over the horizon and see something that maybe otherwise we wouldn't, and the opportunity it presents itself. But optimism can be tough in these days.
Yeah, I think it can be. And I think that, you know, the recent last year has really been a hassle. I'll just say that, a hassle. But I think that we're seeing the end of the light of the tunnel here. You know, our rates on the COVID are going down. We are moving toward getting everyone vaccinated, which I think is a fantastic plan. We're looking to find ways to help our community here get that situation going so that we can have people get safe and be healthy. And then looking at that optimism, looking at what we can do going forward. You know, I think you're right. I look at science fiction and I think about all the things that I want to see happen. You know, you got me to thinking about some of my favorite books, and a lot of my favorite books tend to be a little darker. You know, I like David Brin and I like Philip K. Dick, and some of those sort of those apocalyptic sort of storylines.
Right.
But at every one of those, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a better day that takes place. And I think that we learn. I think that that's what science fiction tells us, is that we can learn from our mistakes and move forward and be positive about what we're doing.
But you've noticed the more recent publications show a much bleaker future than they once did in the 60s. And that bothers me, the dystopian outlook, because we manifest that. When we see that stuff, it's just like Star Trek originally. Look where we are and what we're capable of doing, and everybody gets along and works on the same team. Whereas now a lot of the books are written and it's all about fighting with one another, and it didn't used to be that way.
No, yeah. You know, you got me to go home and pull out a box of books, and I started, you know, just looking for one that I haven't read for a while, and I'm rereading Prelude to the Foundation series, which
I love that. You know, it actually probably one of the most accurate books when you look at psychodynamics and what we're doing now. It was definitely a foretelling, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, but one of the things that totally gets me about this is that humanity's moved out. We've moved out from Earth, and we've got, you know, 25 million planets that we've immigrated to, and the history is so intense. The future history is so intense, but it's all built on the fact that we made it. You know,
right.
We got past the dark ages and we moved on, and we've evolved into a better lifestyle.
Yeah, and now we're looking at the modern telling of the fall, rise, and fall of the Roman Empire.
Absolutely, but I think that we can do just what Harry Seldon did in Foundation, and we can bridge the gap. We can do that with education, and that's why I love being in education. That's why I like being in higher ed.
Yeah, catches because your imagination.
We have that opportunity to bridge those gaps and change that future. And not have that bleak future and get past it.
And reach our full potential. Kirk Overstreet, absolutely. President, John A. Logan College. You know, I'm going to keep you on this for a while about this, because I think it allows us to talk about things that we couldn't in any other way. Which now, when you can't win, when you bring up any subject, is the way to do things. Kirk, before I let you go, students, staff, last notes when it comes to weather and plans at John A. Logan College.
Yeah, today everybody is working from home and learning from home. We've canceled most of the events for the evening. Like I said, the basketball team is traveling. They're going to go ahead and do their travel today and get their game in. But we'll start back up tomorrow morning, regular hours. Everything will be back to normal.